when we start thinking about things that we fear and the host encamped against us and the fearful enemies who rise up before us and the violence to which he refers right here, breathing out violence and retribution, false witness. When he makes reference to these, he's experiencing things that we might even be experiencing in our lives today. And this is what David says, and this is what we are reminded of from Scripture. Number one, when we experience things that just are overwhelming or immobilizing or weighing us down and we're uncertain, even, and most of the time we feel those in the quiet moments of our lives when we're by ourselves in our own thoughts, David says, start here, very first verse, the Lord, start with you, O God, first, start there. Remember what he has done for you in your life. Don't start with all the ugly stuff. Don't spend time in the ugly. He says, start with the Lord. Start with what you know to be sure. Don't start with the fear that assails you. David knew the names of God. You know, he was familiar with these in their worship and in their recitations. They referred to El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Olam, Everlasting God, Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. They called God those names because they looked to the Lord. Start with the Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. Not anything else on this earth. Nothing else on this earth is my light and my salvation. He's present. What did the angel say to Joseph in the dream? You'll call him Emmanuel, which means, of course we know what that means. Let's take that in. Let's hear it with David. God is with us. We're not abandoned. We're not alone. We're not in this on our own. The angels came to the shepherds and said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. In times of fear, David starts with God. He says, give him some of your time. Make time to talk to him. When do you do that? When do you make time in your busy life with all the distractions and all the things to be done, all the obligations and duties that are on all of our plates? When do you take time to say, oh, Lord, you are my light and my salvation. I'm going to start with you. Corrie ten Boom, in that German death camp, you've read her book, The Hiding Place. She said what got her through that was being able to talk to him directly and say, you are my light. You are my hiding place. The song that we sing entitled The Hiding Place, based on her book, based out of her book, takes words from a couple of other psalms, Psalms 32:7. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 56, whenever I am afraid, do you know the psalm? I will put my trust in you. In God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Sometimes easier said than done. But we do with where the psalmist starts. We start with him. But here's the second thing, and I marvel at this, that David goes right from this, when the foe is against me and the army is encamped around me, where do I go? I go straight to you. But then he says, here's also what I want to do. Here's the one thing I ask, my prayer. Here's my prayer, one thing I ask. Now, David asked a lot more. But he likes to focus it right here, and I appreciate that. One thing I ask, and one thing I'm seeking, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, here's the second thing we find here. David says, put yourself in a place. Put yourself in a healthy, life-giving place. In other words, don't spend a lot of time dwelling in the places where there is dread. There are fearful things raising their ugly heads. Don't spend a lot of time in unhealthy conversation or even critical and destructive conversation. Don't go there. This is what I pray, Lord, that I will be in your house, in your presence, enveloped by you, immersed in you, surrounded by you. then I will be there. You know, the therapists tell us, get away from toxic conversation. Well, that's pretty good advice. David would say it this way, Lord, I want to dwell in your house and I want to revel in your beauty. That's what I want to do. Whew. Engage in healthy things with healthy people. That's why I like to go to church. Most people, most of the time at church, are the right people I want to be around. Okay. Yes, that's true. That is very true. And all of us who've been church people all of our lives, we know, yeah, by and large, that's where you want to be and the people you want to be with. And you want to stay with the people with whom you share the journey. Let's don't settle into that negative kind of stuff that tears us down. Let's dwell on the beauty of the Lord. Let's build up the community of faith. Let's enjoy the company that we share this journey with. Find company with believers. When he says, I want to dwell in your house, he says, I want to be with your people and in you. And I want to reflect on that. Another word for beauty, the Hebrew word is delightfulness. You ever think about God as delightful? I want to revel in and reflect in your delightfulness. I want to discover worship that is true and honest and spirit-filled. That's what I want to discover. I think I'm on a lifelong quest for that. We've all been in worship moments we've been in many worship moments. And I actually really enjoy the liturgy that we follow here. I want more moments of just where I can just think about the folks with whom I share this space, where I can think about the presence of God who says, I got things for you. Hang on. Just revel and reflect. Behold, meditate. This is what he says. Meditate. Another word for that is inquire, seek, ask. Think on these things. What does Paul say? Here are the things you should think about. What's the list? Whatever is true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, good reputation, excellent, worthy of praise. Think about these things. Ooh, there's a lot of darkness in the world. And I have to be kind of careful because I can kind of get focused on the darkness and I can get upset. I can get angry. I can get resentful about ugly things happening. You know, the year I spent overseas, I was kind of cut off. You know what I discovered? You all know this already. I didn't know it till I got there. In order to have TV, you have to pay a license fee. You know, you have to pay for your television. Okay, I'm an American. We don't do that here. And I said, I'm not going to pay a fee for my television. I went without TV for a whole year. That was the most blessed thing I ever did. I'm not kidding. That was so renewing for me. I've come back and I still don't have an interest in really watching the news or watching TV or watching anything. Really, it's just like it went away. Whew. But here's the problem. I got to have several news feeds. And that's where I started reading and getting it called into it. And you know, I realized after a while, reading the news feeds was not healthy. It left me with kind of this heavy, sick feeling. I also, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I have a lot of friends with whom I went to school and have known for many years. And they're all Baptists. God bless them. And you know what? But they're all of the liberal persuasion. Can I just say that? They're way more left than what you would ordinarily think of Baptists. In fact, when the Southern Baptist, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. When the Southern Baptist Convention went way hard right back in the 90s, there were some people who said, that's not us. We're going to go. And they kind of found themselves going way hard the other way. So I find myself somewhere in between with friends on both sides. They said, okay, I'm just going to walk this middle path. But here's what I noticed. I'm on several feeds from this crowd over here, and I'm using my left hand. And you know what kind of worries me and bothers me about that? I hear a lot of complaint, a lot of bitter criticism, a lot of just resentful words that ought not to characterize Christians. That concerns me. That concerns me a lot. If I'm not careful, I'll get wrapped up in it. I think we got to stop browsing the web for all the terrible things that can happen and doom scrolling on Facebook. It's just not really where we need to be. David says, I got one prayer. Lord, I want to be in your presence. And then he goes on with that prayer. Hear me when I cry. Be gracious to me. Lord, I'm seeking your face. Please don't hide it from me. Let me see you. This is what I want to do when I'm in the company of the committed, when I'm with meditating on you and inquiring from you, when I'm reveling in your beauty. This is what I want. And then I love when he finally gets to verse 11. So he said, start with the Lord, start there. And then put yourself in a place where you're not consumed by all the negative, harsh stuff. And then third, he says, and Lord, teach me, because I do need some wisdom. I want to know that you have a plan and that you're working it. You know, there are fearful things out there, but I know Paul says to Timothy, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us another kind of spirit of love and discipline, sound mind. He kind of wants us to be like those three boys that were thrown in the furnace. Remember those guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And, you know, they looked right at the king. And they looked right at the king. And they said, oh, king? They probably didn't say, hey, blessed be your name. They just probably said, oh, king. God is able to deliver us from this furnace of blazing fire. Indeed, he will deliver us. However, if he does not, we will not cease to serve him, and we will not serve your gods. We simply will not bow down to your golden idols. We simply will not, period. I want to hear those guys, but I would also, when I ask God to teach me and give me some wisdom, I say, okay, so I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to, where's my bulletin? I want to say, faithful God, you've given us Jesus. Light of the world, don't let me choose darkness and sin that has the brightness of your love. I am a frightened disciple, often slow to speak. Slow to speak your gospel. God of mercy, forgive that timidity. Teach me your way. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit so that I may preach your word to the nations, that I may share the good news with someone around me today, or tomorrow, or through this week, that the name of Jesus will be on my lips, and I will translate that faith and love for him into action right where I walk every day. Lord, teach me your way. Help me to continue to pray this prayer. Help me to walk alongside with you. Help me to respond to the needs right in front of me. Lord, help me with love and forgiveness to lean into this world where fearful things are. Help me to be salt and light, like Jesus said. You're the salt. Be flavorful in this world. You're the light. Let my light shine through you. Let it be such that when people meet you, they say, what's that light in you? Huh? May it be so. It's better to pray for people, even the enemy, than vilify, demonize, and put them in the categories. That's how Jesus did it. It's better to offer love and grace to broken folks, even the ones with whom we have violent disagreement. Now, by the way, I'm preaching that myself. It's better to offer love and grace even with those with whom we have violent disagreement. It's better to offer hope to the antagonistic, belligerent, unlovable. I need that hope. Lord, teach me your way. And show me how to live like Jesus in this broken world. Because there are things I'm afraid of. I want to rise above that. I want to see them. I want to start with you. I want to dwell with your people and in you and reflect on your beauty. And I want you to teach me how to walk in this world. And finally, I'm going to do the thing that's probably the hardest. And here it is right here at the last part of this chapter, verse 14. Wait. I want immediate fixes. I want it now. I want to believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living now. I want to believe that. But along the way, I have to be strong, take courage, and be patient. Be patient. Wait. Wait. Because God is going to do what God's going to do. No forces of the world will stop him. And you and I want to be on his side. We want him to use us to accomplish his purposes. He is going to do what he's going to, and he will do it with or without us. God will accomplish what he's going to do with or without us. We want him to use us. God will stand against all the forces in the world marshaled against him. They cannot stop him. His kingdom will come. We pray that in the prayer. We'll pray that in the prayer in a moment. Oh God, your kingdom come. We'd like it sooner. Well, actually, we know it's already at hand, don't we? Jesus said, hey, I'm here. Kingdom is at hand. But we're praying for all of it. Christ is building his church. He is at work right here today. And if you're at home watching this, guess what? He's at work in you. He's building his church. Now, he will build his church with us or without us. We want to make sure he's using us. So we'll speak the good news of life and liberty in Jesus. We'll look for ways to translate our faith into action. I got your newsletter this week. I love that. Because there's more ways that this church is actually touching the world than a lot of bigger churches that I know. Okay, it's already happening. But God says, keep coming. I got more for you. I got more for you. We need to look for ways to translate our faith into action right now today. We need to be prepared to articulate a reasonable biblical response to the fearsome things in this world. Lord, teach me your way. Help me to wait on you and stay right with you. And hear what Jesus said when he spoke these words that resonate so deeply with all of us. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid, little flock. Why? Because your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. Let's stop and think about that for a moment. In fact, this story means a quiet prayer. Just to let that soak for a moment. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Start with him. Put yourself in a place that's healthy and positive, reflecting on his beauty. Listen to him and let him teach you. And wait for him.